I got to tell the story about Rachel now. So Rachel's riding up the hill with her dad. Her dad's desperate to get her first kill. It's kind of like, it's like the 40-year-old version, because she's been hunting for a long time. She's never hit anything. She's fired her gun thousands of times, but she's never hit anything.
I've never shot at a deer before, ever.
She shot at a deer point blank and missed it by like 20 feet. So they're driving up the hill, and there's a little wounded baby deer stuck in a bear trap on the side of the road. Her dad pulls over the car. And he goes, go. And she hits the ground running, right? Already cocked and loaded, putting her thing and pulled down her night vision goggles. She goes up to the deer, and then execution style, back of the head, just blows it away.
What does she say?
She says...
everybody, what does she say?
Is this a trick question? Is there something I'm supposed to say here?
Just answer the question, my friend.
She says, I don't know where you're going with this.
You're fired.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I'm going for wherever you were going to go, but you didn't have enough faith in yourself.
Well, I thought you were expecting me to say something.
That was wicked funny. Involved bear traps and deers and execution style.
Well, I'm sure I could come up with a pun if I...
Wait, can I tell the true story of what happened with my deer? Yeah. So I went hunting all last year and all this year, and this is the second to last day I was going to be able to go hunting this year.
Season's going to close soon. Yeah.
Season's going to close. I wanted to find a freaking deer. Well, we had been going up to a friend's property. He had 640 acres up at the Corbell area.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. But then the day we actually got one, surprisingly enough, we were up at South Fork Mountain, which is public land, and there's ridiculous amount of people and whatnot, but it was pouring down rain, which is excellent because the deer come out then. So I will tell you the sad part of my story is we saw a bigger deer right before that, but it was obviously bigger because it was smarter.
Her dad missed it with the truck. Too bad it got away.
I couldn't, as soon as I jumped out of the truck, it ran away, and I looked for it for a little while and couldn't find it. So we jumped back in the truck, which normally we were like hiking all day, so it's pretty easy hunting. We like couldn't even find a place to hike yet. It was bright and early in the morning. We were driving. My dad saw the deer before I did, but I wasn't going to waste any time, so I jumped out and loaded my gun and got it ready, and I saw the little flicker of its tail and pointed my gun at it, and it was looking at me like an idiot.
It was a surrender flicker.
He was surrendering.
It was just
going
to give up. It was going to be a POW, but you weren't.
I didn't,
I didn't care.
I was
no
hungry.
Prisoners.
So I shot it right through the heart. At 75 yards.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize you were that far away.
Yeah. And,
I thought it was pretty much point blank.
No.
Also, you know, I just had a problem
I'm a bullseye shot at 100 yards, though.
You practice, like,
Yeah. My dad was a sharpshooter in the Army. 30-30. Remington.
30-30, yeah. That's pretty cool. Did you have a...
Lever action. Actually, he was at a weird angle, and I blew up his heart, and it ricocheted off the backbone and went out his ass.
Oh, wow.
It's fine.
That's
it did. Really it went out the butt. You can tell which hole it went in and out because the holes are bigger.
When Ian, is that possible? You were a pre-med.
Uh-huh.
Ian was a pre-med, by the way.
A bullet
expands as it goes.
All over the place as it goes in. There's if you think about the physics that's going on there, there's all sorts of different consistencies and viscosities going on in terms of organs and connective tissue,
Greatly enough, I did not ruin any of his guts or anything, which is great because it makes a horrible gutting process. The sad part about it, though, I ruined a lot of the ham, but it's cool because I got lots of good backstrap.
Good.
But the sad part about it was when we walked up to it after, you know, I shot it, nerves or something was making it kick, and its eyes were still open. And it's horrible. You know, you don't want the thing to suffer if it is still alive and knowing what's going on. Which is shot through the heart, it shouldn't have been. But, you know, you feel like it knows what's going on because it's kicking or whatever. So I grabbed my pocket knife and we slit its throat.
You know,
it's great.
So this buck was, if you turn it into equivalency of, like, people age, it was probably in its early 20s. Do you think it was in the process of going home to pitch some woo to a girl deer?
It actually was right before rutting season, yes. It was getting ready to pitch some woo.
revisit the woo thing briefly. The question was the confusing thing for us because, well, for Ian. Because Ian can't attack anything simply. It has to be done in a very complex layered, academic, everything's intelligentsia, dirtbag way.
Is everything an onion to Ian?
It is. It's all layers that have to be peeled to get to the bottom, which is usually something to do with some vague avant-garde form of music or art that somehow links to something. Like, for instance, Transformers to Ian looked like some whack job painting called "A Nude Descending a Staircase" or something.
Yeah,
like that.
By Marcel Duchamp.
Right. And the average person would say that Transformers looked like a movie about giant robots. So that's the difference.
Well, it also
right there.
Thematically resembled Buster Keaton in Steamboat Junior, with the house falling around him, and then everything collapsing around him, except he's okay. Inexplicably. This is good though, because if people tuned in and they went to the website and they saw, oh hey, they reviewed Transformers and had a picture of Optimus Prime on it, and said, yeah, Transformers, Megatron and Optimus, hooray, they fight. But no, instead they tune to it and they see a picture of a painting that from the 30s that was, you know, the beginning of abstract expressionism, comparing that to a Michael Bay film.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, this is what we're doing. We're
right.
Deconstructing and reconstructing. We're getting people to recontextualize.
Is that what we're doing?
Thinking about pop culture. Yeah, it's fun. It's
fun
for me. It's my podcast. I do what I want.
Anyway,
yeah, so, I mean, that's fun. That's the fun of it, is to take an easy idea. I mean, basically, what we understood, and I said this at the beginning, so I did sort of an apologia to the theme of woo, is that if the question were, how do you pick up women or whatever, there's all sorts of self-help books and talk show episodes about that stuff. So I sort of broke it down and said, well, here, first thing you do is you listen to a podcast, right? Being very, very sarcastic.
Obviously.
Very, very biting.
Obviously, that's the first
thing. You know, I don't know how far you got into it, but you commented that you thought it was funny, so.
I did. Well,
that's what I was going for, you know. No funny, no money, right? With Joey Gladstone. And
Tawny Kitaen. Yeah. Rachel, are you saying that you've had the failure on people's part to get with you is them and not what you feel about them initially? It's not how. So say some dirtbag came up to you, right? Just to keep with the theme.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Say a dirtbag comes up to you and pitches absolute game at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he's a dirtbag already, though. You have a preconceived notion about him.
Mm-hmm.
What does his any sort of wooing toward you accomplish? Like, is somebody who's somebody can bowl you over with woo once you've already made a preconceived idea?
Yeah, well, the rhetoric defeat the initial first impression, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's
what he said.
Question.
Okay. Well, when I was initially wanting to talk about pitching woo, it wasn't if some random stranger came up to me.
I understand that. I understand
that. So it was more of a...
And sorry, it was like you are getting to know somebody and you want them, or hopefully do. What does a man do to get this woman to fall for him?
Someone
which
he may have known for a while.
Exactly. So like what you were talking about on the previous podcast of it's very important to always be yourself. When you
that
pitch woo, it was you. It was you, Ian.
It wasn't Ian.
It wasn't?
No, Ian was the one who talked about Tom Wolfe and rocket ships and...
Wait, you were the one talking about being yourself?
I said the thing about how the
I don't know, being authentic is what I said. I stuck that. I
he said something about being an authentic
okay.
man and there was a soundtrack.
So, both of you gentlemen discussed being yourself, which is very, very important because it's not good to pertend you're somebody you're not.
You're certainly not
going
to be able to maintain that.
Exactly. You might get them for a little while, but once they see your true colors, it's all over.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, obviously being yourself, but...
But you have to express
but
that there's
what,
some kind of a deeper
exactly.
interest.
What are you going to do for this person to let them know that you care? And maybe it's not
you're
necessarily...
You're different than a friend sort of way, right?
Exactly.
Not what I took the question to be, so I apologize. I guess we could revisit it in a more thorough sense. How does one transfer? And maybe what are the differences?
You know, and actually, and that, and
is
honestly,
it
that's
a physical thing that then ends up changing, and it becomes a Harry Met Sally kind of thing, right?
The Harry Met Sally thing is interesting because I think people can tell right away, if there's any sort of friendship as a foundation of something, that's generally the first step toward anything going beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But the problem is that most of those things don't start that way. A couple people meet in a bar, and they are both mutually physically attracted to each other, and then they find out 3 weeks later that the girl is a slut and the guy likes beating people, you know? But too late at that point. They're already kind of into it for a little bit, and then they complain about each other to their friends, and
so it goes.
Yeah. Ad hoc genus omni. Yeah.
But what about the internet now? How that's changed everything? Hasn't that reinvented things with dating?
What about a movie like Knocked Up? Two complete strangers.
Yeah, and that can happen too. It can totally happen. But the thing about that movie that makes it kind of ridiculous is that, they're both a little bit drunk when it happens, and then they're both genuinely kind of like nice people, and so they stick with it afterwards,
right?
Pretty quickly, because she doesn't, keep contact with him right afterwards. And I think that's kind of the situation we're talking about. Generally, though, people meet in a bar, and they're drunk like that. I don't think they're both generally beautiful, nice people inside all the time when that happens. And I couldn't tell you that for certain because
I
don't have that.
Well, it's a compatibility issue in the end, right? I mean, you're talking about a lot of variables that have to come together in order for two people to get along and create a long-lasting friendship or a long-lasting, more complex relationship in the end, right? What are you going to do on a Saturday afternoon in 30
years? That's
true.
No, Austin brings up a scintillating point.
Sure, they are. People stay married for long periods of time.
But I think a lot of that happens because people... there are some people who refuse to let things die.
That's possible. There
are
people who don't believe in divorce, and so they'd rather suffer like that. But
I don't think you have to be wholeheartedly cynical.
I mean,
there's stages in relationships where people, the initial honeymoon period will go on for
itch or whatever.
Exactly, that sort of thing. And eventually, at some point,
a state
of boredom will come in, and that's where the friendship thing kicks in. Is that if you have that initial foundation and the rest of it starts to crumble, you know?
Can you both get along?
Yeah.
Can you get along together, but can you get along apart as well?
Exactly.
Can you sit in the same room with somebody else while they're doing?
Because the friendship thing matters. When 7 years down the road, you realize the chick has a bad case of saddlebags, and then you're like, what would I do? I normally jump ship. Go find some hood rats, bang, knock them out.
I think we're ignoring the initial question.
Oh, really? What's that?
What? I guess I'm asking you, as humans... As humans, to tell me what you would do.
I'm married. Don't ask me. Ask
well,
him.
What did you do to win Kristen, or is she just like me, where she's always the pursuer?
Oh, I was
the
totally
wooer.
Pursued. I was completely pursued by that. I was actually very.
And did you feel like since you knew you were being pursued, you didn't have to try?
No, I didn't know how to deal with the situation because I felt initially that I was very out of my league and that I would have never had a chance with her to begin with. And so I was just kind of...
All bets were off.
I was punch drunk for a long time where I just figured that... Actually, no, soon after that I started thinking, I'm awesome. I must be really awesome. I just didn't know it for a long time.
What was playing in your head? What was your soundtrack for that brief period of you...
It was
please
that
tell
song
me
that
it's
goes,
Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster.
No, no, it was that song that goes,
Oh, me so horny.
That one.
Really? It wasn't like you're the best
me
around.
So horny.
No, no. It was just stuff about being horny, I think. Mostly.
That's it. Is that why you married my sister? Because you were horny?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
I just want to make sure.
Because you got to have the right kind of theme music running on a day-to-day basis. In order to
it was
so,
probably something with Weezer in it or Warren G, maybe.
It was Regulators?
It wasn't Regulators. It was DJ. It was this DJ.
So, Ian, can I ask you a question?
You can ask me a question.
If a woman was pursuing you,
okay.
Would you...
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Would you
awesome
feel
mustache.
Like you wouldn't need to try to pursue her at the same time?
Well,
what does the word pursue mean to you?
I think I see like a fucking bullet, San Francisco, the hills, and the cars are jumping. Dun, dun, dun. And then you put your seatbelt on.
Well, because Rachel,
you know
here's the thing.
Real,
here's
right?
the thing.
You always put your seatbelt on once you know it matters.
Here's the thing generally about the pursue thing, Rachel, is that it usually has to do with a guy going after a girl. And the idea is, in a lot of movies especially, I think that, people get the idea from watching movies and stuff that a lot of times it'll just take, that any sort of just loser off his couch can get any sort of, like, supermodel chick if he just kind of tries hard enough and does enough to win her over.
Yeah, but I'm talking about real life, not movies.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's a misconception because of that. And so,
we're defined by our actions, so I think that this is key. She says pursue. Pursue is a verb. It's an action word. Things are happening. Things are moving. Don't look sad.
Oh, I think my computer just died, so I'm trying to restart it.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm sad. I don't care about this.
Good. So
just keep talking, and I'll just make stuff
really,
up as
really,
I go.
That is an interesting question. And here's the thing. So two things have to happen in order for two people to really get along. They both have to get along. They both have to know that they like each other, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's also kind of important. So one
a little bit.
If one person likes another person, the other person doesn't like them as much, mm-hmm. that's actually very stressful. Because...
On both of them.
If you, it's like, how do you not be a jerk? How do you not be a dirtbag to somebody that maybe you don't feel as strongly about as they feel about you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you need to ascertain first. And you can do a lot of intellectualization there. And, you know, your friends might give you really bad advice on that, too.
Oh, I think praise the Lord.
My friends are
my computer's
bad
working.
Advice. So I don't know. I guess if I were also interested.
Wait,
in
you were looking at me when you said that. Was
what? Well, I'm concerned about your computer too. I'm sorry.
No. I just thought.
My brain is doing two things.
No, no, Mike. It's like it looks like it's coming thing. Back up. No, you said your friends are giving you bad advice, and you gave me one of these looks.
Oh no, not you. No.
Okay. Because I remember that I gave you a lot of advice one night, and it was really late. And
yeah.
I think I was watching. I was probably watching Cuffs that night, and I was like, "Yeah, you know, what you should do. Yeah, you should talk to the camera constantly."
I do talk to the camera all the time.
Invite your
there right now, by the way, in case anyone knows.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's not funny at all. You got to be funny too. That
so, Rachel, helps. I understand you keep restating this question over and over, Rachel.
Because you guys aren't answering.
Well, I don't think you
I'm
understand the question.
Asking you personally, what you would do, like. Would you?
I would continue to develop. Okay, here's what I would do.
Because obviously, bottom line, okay, you have a good friendship with somebody.
Sure.
There's a physical attraction also, and you
okay.
want to pursue a deeper, more intimate relationship.
Okay.
Way
are
deeper.
You going to? Are you going to?
No, I mean.
Send her flowers. Are you going to take her to a dinner?
Straight
are you going
from
to cook
friendship?
Her a dinner?
Yeah,
No. I'm saying like it's a relationship that you know is growing.
Lines in that no man's land.
I'm not saying just some random person that
no,
you're
no,
just.
I'm saying you can't do the flowers until you know that she's into you that way.
Okay, so how about
that,
maybe
her
cooking
out.
Her a dinner, or taking her out to dinner, or taking her to the
you
beach?
You establish in the friendship part. You establish. I think this is critical, is the assessment of what's funny to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how bad of a joke can I make that they will either think is funny
right.
or think is terrible? Where's the offensive line lay? And this is also how you constantly reassess how interested you actually are in someone.
Right.
Because really, we're men, and so it's pretty simple for us on the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
We basically have to talk ourselves out of these things.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And I'm an expert at that. So, you know,
You talk yourselves out of...
Well, here's the thing.
A relationship?
Sure.
I don't know. We talked about the fact that the humor thing has a lot to do with that. And you hear it as a cliche that that women like a good sense of humor, et cetera.
Well, they like the right sense of humor for them.
You're just killing me with all this stuff.
I'm not
dude.
Killing you with anything. What am I constantly contradicting everything you're saying?
I just my head hurts
well,
when
not.
You talk. That's a deep
no,
question.
We're not even. That's way too deep for right now. That's not even out there. I feel like I'm talking to. Well, men, I guess, because you're not really listening to the question I'm asking.
I listen to your stupid question.
I want you
don't
to tell me.
Answer it.
Okay. I thought I did answer it.
No, you
no
didn't,
I'm asking
Ian.
You. I'm not asking you. I know the fundamentals of a relationship,
okay.
that you must get along.
You thought you answered
You
it.
Must like each other's company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we've already covered that you
okay.
have that. So my question is, when you have decided, you and this person obviously are wanting to have a deeper relationship, what
When you say obviously,
do you
mean that you know that she's into you?
Yeah, you know she's into you, and
why
you are
do
into
anything?
Her.
Well, wait a minute, though. How does that happen?
How does that happen?
How does the knowledge come about? I think at some point it's the sink or swim, right? And this is the real question you're asking, right? At some point you have to decide to sink or swim on a relationship. You have to decide it's either worth jumping into the next level or it's not.
Here's my question,
okay.
Rachel. You're jumping past the part where the guy already knows that the girl is into him. How does he get to that point? That's the problem
that's
right
the
there.
That's the nerve wracking part. Yeah. That's
if a girl is into you,
talking about before,
if the girl is into you, yeah,
just
the guy's
be yourself.
Golden. Who cares? He can
see,
can show
okay,
up in a,
so that's it.
In a Chippendales.
Okay, that answers my question.
And just,
so you don't pitch woo.
If you not
that
if you
answers
don't, not
my
if
question.
You don't, not if you already know she's into you. I think that pitching woo is something that somebody would do in a Victorian era when they're trying to court somebody. And they go up and they go, I'm a wealthy landowner. I don't really have much to do with my time. I'm interested in marrying your daughter. And they're like, okay, come on in and pitch some woo. And so you sit down next to her. You play the pianoforte. You lean on things
read poetry.
A lot. You lean on things. You recite poetry. And it dances you.
You do the waltz.
You waltz and stuff like that. And then, you know, she fans herself because you've given her the vapors. That's it.
With her sweaty cleavage.
Hey, let's hope so.
Okay, whatever. So pretty much as long as you know a girl likes you, you're not going to try and do anything above and beyond to make sure you have her forever. If you don't know she likes you, it's way too risky to pitch woo.
No, I don't think it's too risky. That's the thing. Is I think
sink
the
or
pitching
swim.
Woo goes in the area where you think maybe she does. But
so as a woman,
yet.
I shouldn't make it obvious to a man if I'm interested in him?
No, you should. That's fine. That's totally
okay, but
fine.
Then
that's
I'll never
help.
Get... See, is this why no, I've no, never been... I never get pursued?
Here, as a woman, this is just a fundamental fact. I'm going to go ahead and admit this. You guys are in charge.
I know.
You're in charge. So you don't lose anything in the bet. We're dudes. We're always interested. We have to talk ourselves out of being interested. So you don't lose anything. You don't really risk as much. I mean, sure you do because, who knows, if some dirtbag treats you badly, I'm sure you feel bad about it. And that's sort of a generic human thing. But, no, do what you do, you know? You're the only one that's going to live your own life. So if you're interested in...
I guess the reason why I asked the question is my problem in life is...
Okay.
Her one problem in life
My
is.
One problem in life. The only problem in my life.
My problem
is that I'm very upfront and forward.
Okay.
And I, in return, have never been fully pursued because I'm always like...
I will tell you
Yo,
problem.
Dude... You're smoking hot.
I will tell you your problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're just moving faster than other people. That's not even a problem. That's not even a problem. That's just, so you're exempt from this whole woo thing because you are innately the type of person who is going to do the pursuing because you just, that's what you do. So and you're a smaller portion of the female population because the most part, it's kind of the norm in our society that the girl is the one who is pursued by the guy who is hunting his prey. You know what I mean?
Is it because I'm a hunter that I
yeah.
do the hunting?
You do it to yourself, you do. And that's why we hate you do it to yourself, just you. You and everyone else, you do it to yourself.
Ian, you're such a bad guy. Why don't you ever want to talk about what she wants to talk about?
This is why I would never marry you, Ian. Anyway.
You know, though, I think that Ian would be the type of guy that he would be giving you flowers just to
he
make
probably
sure you
would.
Still loved him after, like,
he probably
15
would.
Years in the marriage.
I think that's
actually,
precious.
Does this count as woo? I don't know what it means.
Well, that's what's probably precious about you is you don't think you do,
no.
But you probably do.
So
we'll
Rachel, actually, so honestly, in answer to your thing, I think that the question is, with that whole thing is, you would seriously have to be more, like, coy and demure, and you would have to, like, do the play the game that all other girls, apparently, besides you and your sister,
I like
do.
Be a doormat woman.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's, you hang out, you talk to guys, and you don't ever actually give them signals, or if you do, they're totally mixed, or you think you're giving them signals and you're really not giving them signals, mm-hmm. and the guy's kind of wondering what he should do about it.
That's kind of a myth, though. I think men are, by and large,
you're killing my thing, dude. Just shut your mouth.
There's no obliviousness about us.
No, okay. It's not I understand that, but here's the thing. The guy exists to perform in that situation where there's questions about whether or not the girl is interested.
Sure.
For the most part, honestly, you and your sister are the only two that have come to the top of my head that are like, you know, every boyfriend both of you ever had was somebody that you went after, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's totally out of the ordinary. So if you wanted to experience the opposite end of the thing, it's not going to happen, man.
That's not
just because you, true. Well, no, okay.
Because I'm not programmed that way.
I'm thinking, and that's on your end of it. But you can't tell me that you haven't had some dudes walk up to you and give you their number or something like that. Because Kristen's always saying, no one's ever. And then if you grill her about it, you can get out of her that, yes, guys have walked up to her and asked for her number or given her their numbers or asked her things. And she doesn't think that counts because she's married. What does that have to do with anything? You know, that's still somebody approaching you. So it does happen. You're probably just not thinking about it. That's not necessarily wooing. That's just somebody trying to see if you're interested at all in starting something. The wooing part comes in the whole trying to start a relationship aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
After the first date, that sort of thing. You see what I'm saying?
Like, let me
next
give
on
you...
Dr. Phil.
Let me give you an example of pitching woo, like what I'm talking about. I was once upon a time kind of seeing a guy, nothing really serious, just kind of, you know, we're hanging out or whatever. We went to the beach one day, and we both reached for the same, like, petrified shell at the same time, and we fought over it, and he won the fight, and I was really upset that he took it from me, that I wanted it so bad. Exactly. So I was really upset, but Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, there was a present on my front porch with my name on it, and it was that shell made into a bead with love and the man's heart and the guy's name, like, chiseled into it.
Ian, you can edit all this out, right?
It took some time to make something.
Yes.
Nice.
To me, that was so the most romantic thing probably that's ever happened
but
to me
romance.
In my life. That is the kind of pitching woo I've been trying to get out of you gentlemen this entire evening in the last month.
So basically crafts, like what we
no, not crass, but I'm saying like doing something thoughtful like that.
I have no idea. I know what Pop Tarts are. I can make those out of popsicle sticks.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a craft.
I can draw a really mean Scrooge McDuck.
See, which I've had somebody do that for me before too, and that was really nice. Making dinner for me.
Oh, okay, cooking. Yeah, I can cook.
Like one time there was a note on my car when I got done with work and it said come straight to my house with the rose, and I went there
so
and there was a beautiful dinner made for me.
That can be inconsiderate sometimes too,
so know? If it's I like whip up some macaroni and cheese and make you a house out of popsicle sticks, you're totally into the dude, right?
That is precious.
To a point, I think, is what she said.
Or say if you're a musician, you write her a song.
Okay, but here's the thing, that thing happened to you probably because the guy understood there was some sort of interest on your part.
Yeah.
Because there's always the risk that if somebody does something like that and does something kind of creepy freaky like that, that you're going to be like, hey, that's pretty cool. I'm changing my phone number.
You know what? It doesn't sound like that was all that creepy, though. It sounds like that was kind of a...
It was very romantic. And we hadn't... We weren't in a relationship. We were good friends. We had been good friends for a very long time, but we had been in a...
ambiguous state.
Yeah, where, like, you both know you like each other, but you're not, like, in a relationship yet.
Oh, man.
So maybe we shouldn't be...
Sean Connery
maybe
accent.
We shouldn't be discussing pitching with the no-talent man and the very forward wife man.
Hey, you know what? It was all because of me, dude. I can't help if I'm just, you know, like a magnet, you know?
Smoking.
A hip magnet. Hips just swivel toward me and...
Ryan, what would you do for a lady friend? Would you make her Italian pasta?
I could for it, yeah.
Your question is so vague, and then, like, it was so vague, and then then it turns out when you explain it for, like, the ninth time today, that it actually refers to this tiny mythological gray area in between when, after, the guy and the girl already know that each other is into each other, and before any sort of, like,
well,
seriously, that's like That's like 3 hours. That's a three-hour period you're
talking
about.
Like
it's like watching the green flash when the sun sets. you're gonna see it happen like once in your lifetime, and then you're gonna have vision damage.
By a woman,
most disgraceful thing, I know.